You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is part three of my interview with Todd Sepulveda of the Prepper Website Podcast. Enjoy the show.
So there, a funny story I wanted to share with you that when I started the podcast, I started a Facebook group. And not too long ago, one of the readers or the members of the group said, "Hey, does anyone know any great prepper fiction, out there?" And so I'm like, immediately, I was like, "Man, you got to go check out Mark Goodwin's stuff, you know." And then what I thought was great is I think I'd linked to your author page on Amazon. And then everybody else started chiming in. It's like, yeah, you need to. That's one of the greatest series out there, and blah blah blah. And it, people kept chiming in on that one. And then not too long after that, Vengeance, I guess, came out on audio. That's the way I listen to your books, is on audio, and was able to share that. So you provide I think a great resource to the preparedness community, because it's not only Christian prepper fiction, but you put a lot of research and time into it, and then you also you're always mixing things in there that actually teach people preparedness. So it's like I guess the thing that when I first got into preparedness and I heard about James Wesley Rawls's Patriots, everyone was like, "Hey, it's like a preparedness manual, fictional account and weaved into a story." And yours is like that, I think on steroids. You do a really good job with that. So how difficult and easy is it for you to write about SHTF scenarios from a Christian standpoint?
It's pretty easy for me, and I got to give all the credit to the Holy Spirit, because I don't think this is coming from me. I think that, my skills and my talents, I think they come from God, and so he gets all the glory if there's anything good in any of those books. And if there's anything wrong, all the typos and stuff, that's me. if there's something you particular, unless you're one of those people that are offended by anything God, and you thought that was wrong, it's not that was wrong, it's that you were wrong. So and you'll find that out someday. But like I said, at the beginning of the podcast, I'm a Christian. That dictates the way I lead my life. I wake up every day. I read my Bible before I do anything else. I pray before I do anything else. I ask God for direction and wisdom. And I write characters that read their Bibles and ask God for direction and try to live these lives that are going to be held accountable to their Maker. And, a lot of times that doesn't fit into the modern Christian paradigm of this Jesus, this other Jesus that's being taught in so many American churches that looks like some pot-smoking hippie that just wants peace and love and everybody to get along. He said, "I came to bring a sword, I didn't come to bring peace, And Paul says that, the person that doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel and an unbeliever. And I think that you've got a responsibility as the leader of a family to provide food and shelter for your family. But I think you also have to provide security and you have to protect them from the wickedness and the evils of this depraved generation that we live in. And sometimes that means spilling blood. And in a post-apocalyptic situation, it absolutely will. And there's people that think that, and there's been a lot of Christians that'll read those books and say, "Oh, these people don't have any mercy," And that was written particularly into one of the seven cows, ugly and gaunt books that you're talking about. Vengeance is the fourth in that series. But in one of those scenarios, you know, Danny's wife gets taken hostage, and you know, and they get a hold of the people that are holding her, you know, and they do some pretty gruesome stuff to get the information they need to go rescue her. And I had some people comment that these Christians weren't merciful. I think that's the most merciful thing you can do for your wife is to do whatever you have to do to get the information to rescue her, because she's your responsibility and God placed you there to protect her. And if you're not doing that, nothing else in your world matters. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible, how much you pray, how much you go to church and give to the poor. If you're not caring for your wife, that's your number one ministry, your number one job. And so there's a lot of people that have been that are getting a different gospel, and they probably won't survive the first couple of weeks of the apocalypse anyway. But even if they do, their gospel and what they're believing about God and the Bible isn't going to hold up.
Yeah, well, I mean, your characters are very Christian, like you said. They read their Bibles, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, they take care of business when they need to take care of business, and I really do appreciate that about your characters there. All of your, and going back to this judgment, you know, like I said, I was reading in Second Chronicles, where you read the accounts of the kings, and not just the kings, but all of Israel for all the time when they were right with God, things were always great, you know, and when they veered off of following God's law and God's word, and they did things, they worshiped other idols, God brought judgment. And so you've used a couple of different things to bring judgment, you know, to America in your books, right? So, or to the world, do you have plans for something else? I mean, when you think about, when you read the Bible, it was always another nation. Do you have plans, or have you thought about maybe another nation playing part of a future book or future series, or not even just, you know, your book? What do you think? We talked a little bit about North Korea. Do you think that there are other nations out there that God would use?
ISIS is in the territory that is currently being held, or is in the territory that was held by the Babylonians and the Assyrians, which he used to judge Israel. So I think that we're already seeing some of that judgment, and I think we'll probably see more because they're already in our country. You know, it's a little late to build the wall now because they're already here. We've got the cells. We've got Sharia law being enforced in sections of towns around Detroit and around I think it's Deerfield, Michigan or Dearborn, yeah. Michigan.
Yeah.
So they're already here. But I think that he could judge us with our children, the ones that we've taught to not believe in him and to deny that there's a God, and that we've spent 40 years teaching them that they're their own gods. And that whatever they say is right, and we're continuing to teach that. You know, now it's not only whatever you think is right, it's you can decide if you're a boy or a girl or a purple penguin, and, you know, it doesn't matter what sex God assigned you, that doesn't matter. So we're just more and more teaching them this, and these are the kids that are arming themselves in Antifa, in California, New York, and Oregon, and Texas. They're in Texas. Antifa's in Texas now. A huge wave of them. So they're all over the country, and you know, it's a nation within a nation. You know, so civil war. I think that he can judge us with that.
Interesting. So, Your series, the Days of Noah, and then your other series, The Days of Elijah, are real heavy in Bible prophecy. You know, when it comes to looking at the last days, what are you looking for? What triggers kind of send a tingle down your spine?
I guess everything we're looking at.
I mean, is there specific things that you're like when you're talking about when we're thinking about the last days?
I don't know if any of you guys watch the Jason A videos. He's got a YouTube video. His name's Jason A, and every week he compiles everything from the news that sort of lends itself to end times prophecy. And it's all these news programs, and you'll watch like 15 or 20 minutes of those, and you're just, you know, by the time that's over, you're looking up into the clouds to see if Jesus is coming, because it's just, it's all here. It's the beast technology, the ability to have a one world government, to have a single currency, a cashless society. It's the complete and total takeover of all the world government systems by this Babylonian system that we've been talking about, and the wickedness and the pervasiveness of demonic activity and stuff that we just keep seeing rising. And it's the increase in earthquakes and tidal waves, and the sea and the waves roaring as Jesus said they would be in the last days. And Second Timothy 3 says, you know, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Boy, these are perilous times. Yeah, if they're nothing else, they are perilous. You can't watch the news without multiple terrorist attacks and floods and plagues and epidemics and just bizarre stories of violence. So if these times are nothing else, they're perilous. And then he says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. My goodness, you know, this is the selfie generation. You know, and what is that? That's lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. You can't watch television. You can't watch anything on TV anymore. Everything uses God's name in vain. Every single TV show. We were trying to watch, what was it? It was called The Last Ship. And it's about the ship, and you know, and there's a big pandemic, and it kills everybody in the world, and they're trying to survive. It's a Navy ship, and I think I made it to the 8th episode before I heard God's name used in vain. But then that's it. Then I can't listen. I can't watch that show anymore. Most shows, it comes way, way before that, or some pornographic imagery, you know, even though it's off camera, you still hear the huffing and the puffing, or you see somebody, you know, making the actions, or the people under the sheet or whatever. You can't watch that stuff as Christians. You can't conform to this world. So blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And we're teaching our children now that they can choose their sexuality, that they can choose what their gender. We're teaching them all of that. We're teaching them that in schools. They've now got drag queens going around and reading to little kids in libraries, in American libraries now. And this is going on all over the country. You know, people's got to Google this stuff if you haven't heard of it, because you gotta know what's going on. And accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, Kathy, I'm not saying Trump's good, but you know, to see Kathy Griffin standing there with Trump's severed head, and Johnny Depp joking about killing Trump, and Madonna joking about burning down the White House, you know, just the general no. Read the comments. Go to all my books and read all the 1-star reviews. Mm-hmm. Because very, very few of them have that much to do with the writing style that people didn't enjoy or anything else. It's almost, I'd say 99% of those reviews are people that just hate God. They hate hearing about the Bible. They hate anything that's good. So that's 2 Timothy 3, you know, haters of that's good, you know, despisers of those that are good. And then it goes on to say traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And man, that's the Christian church. And then this is also the Christian church in America, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's no way 3,288 children could be murdered every single day in an abortion mill for 40 years in a country that claimed at the time of Roe v. Wade to be 95% Christian at the time, you know, and even now that claim to be 70% Christian. There's no way that could go on in this country if the American church didn't have a form of godliness but was denying the power thereof. Yeah. So we're in the last, we are in the last days, and everybody just subscribe to, I know I was bashing YouTube earlier, but you know, it's his outlet and it's his platform for the moment. So subscribe to Jason A's YouTube channel and watch that every week.
I used to link to his videos when I did the prophecy update on prepperchurch.com. Exactly what you said. I mean, things are lining up. You know, I'm always looking at the Middle East. I'm always looking at what's going on over there. I think Israel is the apple of God's eye. And so whatever's happening over there is something that I'm always watching out for, too.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com. today.
So how do you stay aware of what's going on? What's the best way that you have found to do that?
Oh man. Well, the Jason A videos, that's great. there's a few other people that do prophecy updates. If you've got Roku, you can add his channel as one of your channels on Roku, and that's a Calvary Chapel channel, and they do a world news briefing there every week, and it's good, especially for staying up on things that concern Israel and things like that. And I think J.D. Farag does one, and then there's one that you turned me on to that's up in Ohio.
John Haller.
John Haller. Yeah, that's a good one. Drudge Report, you know, he's linking all the stuff, you know, and if it's a headline, it's usually going to be on there. InfoWars, when there's a news item, when there's something important, they cover it. If there's nothing to talk about, Alex spends a lot of time ranting, but when there's a news item, they cover it when nobody else will. And True News is kind of the same. Rick Wiles, he doesn't use the language that Alex Jones uses sometimes. So that's something you can listen to with your kids. But same thing there. If there's a news item, he's going to report on it. And if there's not, then he's going to be doing some ranting. But at least it's ranting without profanity. And we can't always say that about Alex, which I hate that about him because that's the thing that keeps him from being the go-to alternative news source. Because, you know, like I said, I've got a baby on the way. I'm going to be able to sit down and watch CBS News and NBC News and ABC News. I could watch that stuff with my kid because they're not using profanity, even though that everything they're saying on there is a lie. So Christians can watch those programs that are filled with lies with their children because they don't want to use profanity, and they can't watch Alex Jones' newscast, which is now almost on par with all of these big names in as far as the quality of the broadcast. But you can't watch it because of the language you use. You know, you can't watch it with your wife, much less your kids. Yeah. So that's really, really a shame. And that's just, I think that's just more evidence of the pervasiveness of the enemy that when you do get something that comes along that could have been halfway decent, Satan's going to figure out a way to get in there and ruin it.
Yeah. I agree with you that does that does turn, you know, that does make it to where people can't or won't listen to it. And I think that's a shame, because I think that anything you can say that you need to, you know, use bad language. I mean, you can say it with clean language, right?
Yeah.
And appeal to so many more people. So let's start. I mean, we've been going for a long time. Let's start winding this down. I have two more questions to ask you. And I really wanted to get your take on this one. When you consider the current state of the preparedness community, are there any myths or things you would really like people to reconsider when they start making their preparedness plans?
Well, the myth that happy days are here again. You know, none of these threats that we've talked about today, Todd, have dissipated. Every one of them is worse than they were before that President Trump got into office. Let's go all the way back to what I said about the spiritual thread that runs through all of this. And I'm going to use this number one more time, 3,288 a day. That's not been stopped. Our hands are still coated in blood, having been given this chance where we've got the Oval Office, the Senate, the House, all under Republican control, who's supposedly our platform is pro-life, and nothing's been changed. Now, 7 months into this administration, and nothing's been changed, and there's not a word about it being spoken to having it changed. I think we just heaped on more judgment on ourselves as a nation to show our hypocrisy, because if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders would have been in there, then we'd have an excuse. Oh, well, we can't do anything about abortion because Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders is in there. So our hands are tied. So we don't have that excuse. So we've exposed our own hypocrisy. We've exposed the hypocrisy of the conservative party in America. We've exposed the hypocrisy of the American church and the Republican party. And I think that now judgment is due us tenfold what it was when Obama was in office. And, and folks, you got to get prepared right now. You mentioned at the beginning of the show that a lot of the people that come to Prepper website and the Prepper website podcast are new preppers. And I've got a resource out that I give away because I just want people to get prepared. You go to PrepperRecon.com. Right over the blog is a banner that says, click here for your free 7-step survival plan PDF. And that's going to give folks just a well thought out plan, because when people first wake up to all of this stuff and they see that the judgment's coming and they start thinking of everything they need to do, it's overwhelming. And you just can't do it all in one day. And if you try it, you'll burn yourself out. You'll drive yourself crazy. You can go to PrepperRecon.com, click that banner, get your free 7-step survival plan PDF, and it's going to walk you through step by step of making sure that you take care of the most important priorities first. You know, number one, you got to be connected to God. If you don't know God as your Savior, nothing else matters, because 10 out of 10 people die. So you got to get that right. And then you got to have yourself in shape, because if you can't get up off the couch, then the beans, bullets, and Band-Aids aren't going to matter. You got to get the skills, because if you don't know how to use the stuff that you're getting, that's not going to matter. If you don't have the basic understanding of what you need to survive, none of the other stuff's going to matter. So you get that stuff out of the way. Then you get your budget in line, because we keep talking about the possibility of an economic collapse. And of course, in 2008, so many people lost their jobs. So many people got downsized. So you got to get your budget in line before you start with anything else. Now, once you've got yourself straightened out, you got your relationship with God straightened out, you're reading your Bible every day, you're tapping into that source for wisdom, and then you've got your budget straightened out, so you're not going to take the credit card and go out and buy all the crazy prepper stuff and create your own personal stuff hits the fan moment long before the other one that was ever even coming, but through credit card debt, then you can start to say, okay, I'm connected to God, so I've got the wisdom, I've got my budget, so I can start allocating how much I'm going to spend each week to preparedness, how much I can spend each week to preparedness. And maybe if I don't have anything left over, maybe that budget just showed me what a mess I'm in. Maybe I need to find multiple sources of income. Which there's plenty of work out there. You know, we just renovated a house and trying to find somebody to do tile, somebody to do paint, somebody to do baseboards, you know, just these things that are, you know, just basically general labor. A lot of it, you know, there's some skill to some of it, but you know, my plumber makes $90 an hour, you know, and you know, you don't need 10 years of school to be a plumber. So there's plenty of work out there. It's very, very difficult to find anybody that's got any kind of a work ethic. It's hard to get people to even show up, much less come in and do a job right. So if you can show up, number one, and then excel and to do some skill right, you'll never, ever be without work. And it's very easy to pick up extra income if that's what you need to do. And then after you've got your personal relationship with God and your health and your budget, once all of that stuff's fixed, then the 7-step survival plan starts talking to you about, you know, building an emergency fund, building long-term storage food. Then we start talking about, you know, bug out locations and means of defending your family and all the other quote unquote sexy prepper stuff. And that's a free resource that, you know, just go to the PrepperRecon.com, click the banner, click here for your free 7-step survival plan, and we'll email that straight to you.
Sounds good. That's a lot of good information. I definitely believe, I mean, all of that. I believe that the health aspect of it, I think that's very, very important. I mean, so the God aspect in your relationship with God, that's just a given. But the health aspect of it, I think, is very, very important. And the multiple streams of income, I think that's important. And all the other, I mean, you talked a lot of, you know, about a lot of things there. So I encourage anyone to go get that 7-step survival plan over at PrepperRecon.com. So one last question. Vengeance, the last book in 7 Cows, just recently came out. It was a great, you know, a great book. I listened to the audio versions of it. I got to go to San Antonio for a conference. So going to San Antonio and then driving there and then driving back, I was able to listen to most of it. And I always feel saddened when I get to the end of to the audiobooks, because I want to go ahead and go into the next one. So, you know, what kind of response have you had from this book?
Yeah, people are really, really loving it. And it's, like you said, it's my newest book. And, you know, I just spoke about, you know, honing your skills and trying to be excellent. And that's one of the things I do is I really have a lot of fun writing, but I'm always looking to build my skills as a writer and to be the best I can. You know, we get that story that Jesus gives about the servants that get the talents. And, you know, I think that we're responsible to take the talents that he gives us and make the absolute most of them. And so that's certainly what I strive to do with the books.
Your books are very affordable. I mean, right. If you've got Kindle Unlimited, it's, I'm looking at Vengeance right now on Amazon. It's free. It's a bestseller, by the way. Free. If you have Kindle Unlimited, and if you don't, it's just $3.99. I mean, on Kindle, that's a good deal, man.
Yeah. I like to try to keep everything affordable. So that it's not a financial burden for people to read it, because I want to get this stuff out there. I want people to read it. I try to put some proper tips in everything. I try to give some people something. I try to entertain. If I didn't give any proper tips and I didn't try to push people to pursue their relationship with God, if I wasn't doing anything else, I would be trying to provide entertainment that doesn't defile the very spirit inside you, that doesn't grieve God's spirit, that's living and breathing and giving you life inside you. with profanity and sex scenes and all of that stuff. So at the very least, I try to provide some good, clean, wholesome entertainment. And most of the folks that read it seem to be fairly entertained. But I try to sneak in some prepper tips in there. And then I also, I'm always trying to push people to get closer with God, because in the end, that's the only thing that matters.
On this last one, you know, the group engages, I mean, I won't give away too much, but engages, I guess, the enemy. I've noticed that you've done some books with David Kobler, Southern Prepper One. How were those received? I mean, people might not know that you did those. You know, you get so much attention on the fiction, but you have those books out there as well.
Yeah. And the free 7-step survival plan that I give away, that was an effort that from me and David, that we both put our heads together on that one. So you got two seasoned preppers there giving you that advice. And then David and I also wrote Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics, which is exactly what it talks about. It's a very, very basic plan. People that have been in the military or law enforcement, they may not get a whole lot of new information there. But for people that have never been exposed to that world, this is going to give you some real basic stuff on troop movement and hand signals and a battle load. What you're going to put in a chest rig, and how many rounds of ammo you should have, and what should be in your assault pack, and things that you can do to make your home more safe, and things that you can do to a plan that you can implement to secure your block or your neighborhood in the event that the apocalypse comes, or if it starts getting attacked by Antifa.
Hmm. Interesting. So I'm going to link to all your, actually, I'm going to link to your author page, so anyone can go check that out, and all the different books that are out there. I mean, you even have them in series, the ones that you finished, and you can easily buy those on Kindle as well. So great job. Hey, so what do you have coming up for us?
This fall, we'll have the third book in the Days of Elijah series, which Days of Elijah is a carry-on series from the Days of Noah series, which I think that for folks that have never read anything by me before, if you started with the Days of Noah series, I think that's going to be the one that's going to really be the eye-opener for what's going on right now. Sort of, I mentioned some things about, you know, this the Babylonian system and how it's infiltrated our schools and our entertainment system, our entertainment industry, and our churches. Because if you don't know, if you're not aware that the American church has been infiltrated by a satanic system, by this Babylonian system that we read about in the Bible, then that's absolutely where you need to start. Because I think that's probably the biggest eye opener. And then it follows on with the Days of Elijah, and got a lot of folks anxiously waiting for book three in the Days of Elijah. And of course, that covers the tribulation period. The Days of Noah covers the pre-tribulation. It's before the rapture, before the tribulation period, and just how bad things can get before Jesus comes and sweeps us all up. Because a lot of people, and I wrote that. I'm not particularly of the pre-trib school of thought, but I wrote the series to be pre-trib because I want people that are in the pre-trib school of thought to understand you could be right. And I think there's some verses in there that certainly lend themselves to the pre-trib school of thought. I think when you just read it first draft and you just look at it on its face, what does it say? I think it kind of lends itself a little bit more to a mid-trib thought. But the pre-trib folks could be right. But they could be right, and things could get very, very dicey before Jesus comes to sweep us all up. And so I wrote that series to them, particularly for the American church that that believes in a pre-trib rapture to show just how bad things could get before the rapture. And then of course, as always, there's some knuckleheads that don't listen, and they get left behind, and Everett Carroll is just such a knucklehead in that series, and then people had to know, well, what happens to Everett Carroll now that he's getting ready to ride out the worst period in the history of the earth. So I started writing the Days of Elijah to show what I think is going to happen during the tribulation. And of course, there's a lot of speculation in there. I say it in the books. I got a little disclaimer that says, you know, the Fiction Owl is not the best place to get your eschatological theology or you know, I do have some fun with it. I try to be as faithful to the scriptures as I can be, but there's some stuff that in the book of Revelations that you have to do a little speculation. And when you start speculating, everybody's going to speculate a little different. So everybody's not going to agree on everything.
Right. It's a great series. Like I said, the book of Noah. If you're interested in Bible prophecy and just kind of, you know, hey, like you said, there's a lot of different ideas out there, but if you're wanting to, you know, what could it look like? And it's just on top of all of that great entertainment. I loved it. Book of Noah. And I love stories that continue on. So when you can grab a character and, you know, spin off another series on that one, the Elijah is just really, really, really interesting to me. And so I'm really enjoying that one. A lot of information there. And I think you're being modest about how much preparedness information you pack in there. You pack a lot of preparedness information that people will, they might not even realize they're getting it, but they are getting it when they're reading it. So I'm looking forward to that book when it comes out. I'll be one of the first ones to download the audio version. And I got to tell you, man, you really spoiled me with the audio. It's Kevin Pierce, right?
Right.
The guy who, I've listened to other audiobooks, and it's just, you know, I'm anticipating his voice and I'm wanting to kind of hear that familiar voice, and it's not there. And so some of them have just been kind of like a downer, but I really enjoy listening to Kevin Pierce's, you know, the way that he puts off the audiobook. So good job on finding him. He does a really great job.
Thank you very much.
All right, so how can people find you?
Go to PrepperRecon.com, and all the books are listed on the sidebars there. Like I mentioned before, the free 7-step survival plan. I hope that everybody will get that. Maybe you're a seasoned prepper. Maybe you don't need it. Maybe you've got it all. Your relationship with God's good, and you're in shape, and you got the beans, bullets, and Band-Aids, and you're running the envelope system for your budget, and you know everything. But tomorrow is the day that everything starts to fall apart, and all the people you've been telling that they need to prepare start calling you and emailing you and texting you and Facebooking you. What am I going to do? How do I get prepared? Now you've got this resource that you can just forward to them, you know, or you can send them over to PrepperRecon.com to get their own or whatever. So even if you're hyper prepared and there's no holes in your plan whatsoever, and you're locked down, get it anyway. So you've got it to share with your friends and family, because that day is going to come and you're only one person and you're not going to be able to tell them all, and you're not going to have time to write out a 7-step plan. So get that. And if you're unsure, you're not sure you got it all locked down, then definitely get it, read through it, and see what you got to do, what holes are in your plan, and what you need to do to get prepared, because this stuff is coming. We have just exposed the absolute hypocrisy in this country, in the American church, in the Republican Party. Nothing's being done about these children that are being murdered every single day. And whatever judgment we had due on us when Obama was in office, it's tenfold now. So get ready for that. God is not going to turn a blind eye to this. And we're responsible for it, and we deserve it. And it's coming.
It's always, it's not if, but when. I couldn't say it better myself. Well, Mark, thanks so much for being a part of the Prepper Website Podcast and this interview. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd. It's been an honor to be on your show.
All right. God bless, Mark.
The final chapter, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 4, Vengeance, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. Since the EMP, Denny Walker's compound has survived waves of violence and the death of many key members. When Danny gets an unexpected piece of news from Elisa, he pledges to put an end to the persistent threat in Charlotte. He will kill Regent Slusher and shut down his consortium of depravity, or he will die trying. In this, the final battle between freedom and tyranny, the victor will determine the course of America for decades to come. Get your copy of Vengeance by best-selling author Mark Goodwin from Amazon.com now.